fixed it.
Oh, great job.
Let's
you're
go. I'm doing another one.
Together, which was the best. And now I'm still at that church, and I help oversee our teaching team here and get to do a lot of work with youth around the country, which is my favorite.
Amazing. So Shelby, we are in a conversation in the Holy Spirit series, and before we get into like the specific topic tonight, what are some of like your memories from that season of us going through the Holy Spirit series together? Just like what that did in our community. I would just love for you to share on that for a second.
Yeah, that is a series I feel like I still draw from. It was like God dug this deep well in our youth, in us, and I feel like I'm still drawing from it. And I think the two big things that we got to see God do was increase our faith and our expectation of like, God is a God of miracles, and he moved in supernatural ways that we don't always understand. But we are called, and we get to be a part of it. We're like, yeah. Those are some really fond memories. It's like watching young people come awake to that reality and then actually take risks. Like actually say like, okay, right. If this is who God is and this is what he does, then I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to move beyond the walls of my comfort zone. I'm going to let myself be uncomfortable and see what God does. And time after time, we saw story after story of young people encountering the presence of God in really tangible ways.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah, so fun. Okay, so tonight we are in a conversation about healing. And like when we come to the list of all of the gifts of the Spirit, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been going like line by line through the different gifts. When we get to the gifts of healing, this is one that like I think can be like a mixed bag for people. So we just pitched it to a conversation question about like have you ever heard a story or experienced God's healing? And I could imagine for some of you in the room tonight, the answer to that is just like, yeah, like I never have. I've never had that experience. And for some of you, you could like go and talk for like days, talk for like hours about different ways that you've seen God move in this way. But Shelby, like why are you so passionate about this gift particularly? And like why did I tap you to have this conversation? What do you carry around this gift that is significant for our students to know?
Yeah. Well, something that you guys can't see because I'm on screen, but if I was there in person, you would notice that the way that I move throughout life is with the help of a wheelchair. When I was 16 years old, life was really normal. I went to school. I was an athlete. I had great friends. I loved Jesus. And then my life got really rocked. So when I was 16, I was diagnosed with this really rare disease called limb-girdle muscular dystrophy. And limb-girdle muscular dystrophy is a disease that has no treatment, it has no cure, and basically it just progressively weakens all of the muscles in my arms and in my legs, basically meaning that the older I get, the weaker that I get. And so I think in a lot of ways people are surprised to hear me want to talk or want to lean into the conversation about healing, because on the surface of my life, it looks like healing is so disconnected from or distant from my physical experience, which is true. And so I think that there's a temptation in a situation like mine, or anyone who's experienced, you know, loss in a deep way or deals with chronic illness, to kind of want to distance ourselves from a conversation like this and in fear of it getting our hopes up and then being really disappointed. But I think the journey that I've been on when it comes to this conversation around healing is something that, you know, I learned pretty quickly, was that if I disconnect from God's heart, God's desire for healing, because that is his heart and his desire for us is for us to walk in healing and wholeness. And if I disconnect myself from that part of who God is, then I miss out on a huge part of what it means to participate in God's in breaking kingdom. And I don't want to miss that. And so, yeah, a big part of my journey, the thing that I carry, is how do we enter into this conversation with a perspective and like holding this tension of pursuing and believing in God's resurrection power that is alive today, also holding space and tension for what it means to be participants in his suffering, to actually like suffer well with Jesus. And I'm a big believer that as we pursue both of those things, God is glorified, his power is made known, and that there's healing both through the journey of suffering with Jesus and in his presence being known in power.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. Something that Shelby is really passionate about is like spiritual formation. Basically, over the course of your life, this idea that you can actually look more like Jesus at the end of your life than you do right now. And that as we participate in what the ancients called spiritual disciplines, or just the rhythms and practices of Jesus' life, that that can build this kind of like disciple within you that does the things that Jesus did. And so at Church of the City, we talk a lot about like closing the gap between what the Bible says is possible and then what we experience in our lives. And so, Shelby, I would love to pitch it to you just to talk a little bit about Jesus, and because we like him around here. If you could talk to us about Jesus and healing, like where do we see healing in the ministry of Jesus, and like how should we think about that?
Yeah, so good. It's everywhere. So if you're a note taker, I think it'd be great to write down this truth that healing is at the heart of Jesus's ministry. It's at the heart. Healing isn't like background noise or an afterthought or something on like the sideline of his life and his ministry on the earth. It was central. It was the burning hot center of Jesus's life and ministry. And we see this all throughout the Gospels. Two places that I think are really helpful to point out is in Luke 4, there's this moment where Jesus stands up in the synagogue, and this is coming off of like 40 days of fasting and prayer and temptation. You know, he's just gotten off of this intense spiritual battle through 40 days of fasting. He rolls up to the synagogue, he stands in the synagogue, and then he opens up the scripture, and this is what he says. I'm gonna read it for you. He says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus says this, he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So basically what Jesus is saying here, he's like, hey guys, the king that you've been waiting and longing for is here, it's me. And the kingdom that I'm bringing is the kingdom of God, the reality of heaven breaking into the earth. And then he says, you want to know what it's like? This is what it looks like. It looks like the blind receiving their sight. It looks like the lame walking. It looks like freedom for the prisoners, the poor and the oppressed, and the forces of darkness and the demonic being dismantled. And so from this point on, Jesus's life and ministry, what he immediately starts to do from that moment of reading that text, is all kinds of healing in all kinds of different ways. And then you see in Mark 1:15, when Jesus announces that the kingdom of God has come near, what he immediately starts to do is heal the sick and cast out demons. And I think it's helpful to see, like, these aren't just a couple of moments. When you look at the Gospels as a whole, 38.5% of all of the stories in the Gospels are actually devoted to describing Jesus's healing miracles. And so
38%.
Again, central. 38.5%, wow. Which is a ton.
Forget the 0.5. Yeah, that's a ton.
Don't forget the 0.5. But another thing to highlight about this is that, like, this is the natural overflow of Jesus's life. I think a lot of times you might hear people talk or use this language of like the upside down kingdom. And when we're living in the world that we are in, when you see healings and miracles like this taking place, it does seem upside down. It is miraculous. But I think for us, for followers of Jesus, it's really important to see that miracles, including like healing, is just a natural, ordinary part of what it means to follow the way of Jesus. It's a part of what it means to be in God's kingdom. And so the miracles that we see in the Gospels aren't just proof of the kingdom or proof that Jesus is God. They're just part of what it means for us to participate in life with Jesus in his kingdom.
Yeah. So the 38.5%, like those stories comprise like a bunch of different kinds of healings. Like if you think about the life of Jesus, like blind people started to receive sight, lame people walked, people that were demon possessed were like, the demonic was like cast out of them. I would love for you to just talk a little bit on like the different kinds of healing that we see in the life of Jesus and how maybe what we think, just as like a flat, like, did Jesus heal or not? It might actually be a little bit more complex than that. Could you talk about like kind of the holistic nature of how Jesus heals people a little bit?
Totally. I think we all know this on like a really intuitive level that humans aren't one dimensional, right? We're made up of all kinds of different parts. We're emotional beings. We're physical beings. We're spiritual beings. And so we have all these different parts to us. And so I think it's important to recognize that so that we understand that God's healing hand, it reaches actually into every aspect of the human life. It reaches into every part of who we are, part of us that can come under the power or influence of the enemy. Jesus is saying, yeah, that is what I'm after. That's what I want to bring healing to. And all of these different parts of us, he's made to be integrated, right? So like when you experience something physically, say you're just like, your back hurts really bad. Oftentimes that affects like your mood too, right? Or say that you're going throughout your day and you woke up in the morning, had an incredible time in God's word. It's like, man, your emotions shift as a result of that. So I think it's important to recognize that like we're made up of all of these different parts. We're relational beings, emotional, spiritual. And God has wired those things to be integrated. And so that means that his healing is for our bodies. His healing is for our emotions. His healing is for our mind and our thoughts and our relationships and our souls. And so, yeah, we're one dimensional and God knows that we are made in this way. And so his healing is actually, it's after every part of who we are, every part of what it means for us to be human. I think it's also helpful to also know that there's these two Greek words that get used for our translation of the word healing. And one of those words means to heal, to make whole. So again, it's pointing at that reality that healing is meant to be comprehensive in its nature, touching every part of our life. And then the other word that gets used means to save, to make alive. And so it's acknowledging that this spiritual healing that is for right now, for all people, it impacts every part of life. Yeah.
That's good. I would love for you to talk about the like imminent nature of healing. Should we as people that follow Jesus just look at Jesus' life and his like healing ministry and just think like, well, he healed because he was Jesus. There's no way that I could actually like step in and participate in that, or like what paradigm would you give us that maybe would like help encourage like that this isn't something that's meant to just live in the pages of scripture, be like in a distant like framework, but this is like for now. Like, do you believe that like healing like is still like for now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons I believe that is because when you read the Gospels, when you read the Bible, this isn't the only one healing. There's actually other followers, other disciples that are going about praying for people and there's healing happening. It's all over the place. And so I think it's helpful to really pay attention to this reality that in order for like the advancement of the kingdom to happen on the earth, Jesus equips his disciples to go out and heal. Go out and heal. So in Luke 9, write this down and then read about it later, but Luke 9, verses 1 through 2, it says, and he called the 12 together. He gave them power and he gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And so, again, like this healing work that Jesus goes about doing, he recognizes that it's too big. He's not going to do it alone. And so he recruits other people to help, to go out and to participate in that work of ministry through healing. And he invites us to be a part of it, right? Matthew 28, Jesus is commissioning the disciples to obey everything that he's commanded. And that commissioning applies to us. We're disciples. And so if we're actually going to obey everything that Jesus has taught and commanded us, it's going to include for the sick and being vessels of healing, bringing God's kingdom of heaven on the earth in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just Jesus that heals people, like in the Bible,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Like in the Bible itself. And so that, like, that's a paradigm that, like, if you think of healing as only, oh, well, this was because Jesus was God. Like, there are so many other people that participate in that. I think that's, like, a really good point. But could we just talk about the elephant in the room a little bit? Like, I think that the theology is important and helpful. Getting into the life of Jesus as a paradigm is really helpful. That this for today is helpful. But, like, there's a reality that even is your lived experience of, like, why do we see some people get healed or God answers prayers in, like, an immediate sense for some people, but then others could go years without having a kind of physical healing or a breakthrough, maybe, like, they're hoping.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Totally.
How do you hold that and how do you think about that in a way that, like, doesn't make you, like, jaded, bitter, skeptical, like you just kind of carry like a joy about this in a way that is like kind of wild. So I'd just love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that is like the question. And just to be really honest, you know, that is a question that brought a lot of tears in my life for a long time of just that wrestling of like, why God? Why are some people being healed and I'm not? I don't get it. And I think sometimes this conversation can go really sideways and you can be made to feel that it's because you don't have enough faith or it's because you have maybe done something wrong. And so I think that that has the potential to really damage people. And so this question, I say all that just to say it matters because pain is so personal and it's so vulnerable. And so if we want to be a part of God's healing work, we have to have compassion for people's lived experience. But the way that I have a sense of joy about the reality that I live day in and day out is because of an understanding of the now and the not yet of God's kingdom. The now and the not yet of God's kingdom. This is basically just recognizing that you and I, we live in the middle of Jesus's first coming and his final return. We're living in this middle space, right? And there's so much tension then that we have to hold as a result. I call it the messy middle, right? But the reason why this is so important is because, really simply, because God's kingdom is now, people get healed. But because God's kingdom is not yet, which means that we have not come to experience his kingdom in its fullness with Jesus' final return, some people don't get healed. And, you know, a handful of years ago, well, a long time ago, because I've aged since 16, but just after my diagnosis, my brother was playing soccer, and he had a game that day, and he got injured at that game. So he really messed up his wrist and they had to put a brace on it. It was like not good. But the next day he was scheduled to go to this conference, this youth conference. And at that conference, they did a call for healing. And my brother goes forward and he goes forward though to ask for my healing. Me and my brother are really close and he was just like broken over the reality of my diagnosis. And so he goes forward to have the guy pray that I would be healed. And the guy looks at him and he says, okay, we can pray for that, but can we also pray for your wrist? I see that it's in a brace. And so my brother Dakota is like, yeah, sure, we can pray for that. Not really expecting anything to happen, honestly. The guy prays for him, and then he has him tested out. He's like, okay, let's just see how it feels. Like, maybe take it out of the brace and see how it feels. And my brother's pain went from, like, a 10 to, like, a 0. And he was just, like, in awe. He was like, I've never seen anything like this. He was just, like, dumbfounded. And then about 15 minutes later, I get a call from him, and he's just weeping. And he's upset. He's like, I just went to this conference and I got healed, but I wanted you to be healed. Like, I went for you to be healed. And you know, I think that my brother's tears are the language of what it means to live in the middle of the now and the not yet of God's kingdom. And so I think when we are able to hold that intention well, we can live with faith and expectation, knowing that we get to be a part of seeing God move in miraculous ways in the here and now, at your schools, in your families, in your own bodies and life. And it also gives us grace and understanding that sometimes we won't. And it actually, when we can accept that truth, we're able to then lean in. So my reality is I'm accepting that right now I've not been healed. That means that I have an opportunity to suffer with Jesus. And that means that my pain and my suffering, although it might not be healed, it can absolutely be redeemed. It can absolutely be an opportunity for God's glory to be made known on earth right now. And so I think I seek to hold that intention, and I'm finding that as I do, I'm able to still have an incredible amount of joy in the life that I get to live in the here and now as I seek to stay planted in His goodness. And I think the other thing that's really important that kind of helps me navigate this messy middle is that my healing isn't a matter of if I'm going to be healed. It's a matter of when I'm going to be healed.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, but when. Because as believers, all of our healing is secure. It's guaranteed. It's just a matter of whether we're going to experience on this side of heaven or the next. Because healing is on the horizon for every single one of us.
Yes.
Complete, total, body, mind, soul healing. And we can be confident in that. Like, I am confident, I am secure in that hope and reality, which is anchored in the person of Jesus, not in the outcome of my physical healing in the here and now.
Right. Yeah. Like, thank you, first off, just for sharing that story. I think of this example from a pastor in California, and his son was born deaf. And they're having this like prayer ministry moment where deaf people are like starting to hear for the first time. And this pastor looks over at his son, actually kind of like nervous and like scared that like seeing deaf people hear would actually kind of crush his spirit. And he looks over and this pastor's son looks up at his dad with so much joy. And he looks in his eyes and he says like, Dad, I could be next. Like, God's kingdom's coming, I could be next. And just that level of faith that doesn't see the healing of other people as like a deficit to you, but signs that like our healing is ultimately moving forward and will one day be complete when we're in the presence of God. Like, even physical healing that we experience now, like, is a temporary fix because we're all gonna die, you know? It's like, sweet, my hand doesn't hurt. Sweet, my leg was broken and now is, sweet, I was blind and now I see. I'm still gonna die. So I think that like the ultimate healing is so important to keep in perspective, because it's like the temporary signs are not the only thing we pursue, but it's what the sign ultimately like points to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, healing starts and ends with Jesus, 100%.
Right. So could you take us just in the last little moment here, just take us into some of like the practicals of like what would it look like for a community of people to practice this with like faith, but also do this in a way that doesn't like, doesn't hurt people in the process or doesn't like get our mind all messed up in like bad theology? Like, what is it like in your experience? What does it look like to be a community that practices this in the way that you hold the tension in the middle?
Yeah, totally. So let me give maybe a couple of principles, and then we're going to jump into just five quick ingredients to keep in mind as we seek to step into this a bit deeper. I think principle number one is to recognize that it's God's work, not ours. It's God's work. Right. It's God's power. Our 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. And so are we vessels? Are we carriers? Are we houses of God's spirit and power? Yes, but we're vessels. We're the pot, not the power. That's the simple way to keep that in the forefront of your mind. And then I think it's really important to keep in mind that there's no formula. There's no like, great, if I do this, this, and this, then I'll microwave a miracle. It's like, no, you can't microwave a miracle. Like, so we have to keep in mind that there's a mystery to the miraculous.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's no like formulaic approach, but I do think that there are some key ingredients that we can chase after, that we can seek to include in our lives that actually do have an impact on whether or not we see healing in our lives and in the lives of others. So
yeah,
I'm going to roll through five quick things.
Let's go. Hit us with the five. Let's go.
Yeah. Number one is love. And there is a reason why this one is first. Number one ingredient to praying for anyone's healing is love. Because love, at the end of the day, is what God is really interested. You know, I've had a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot of well-meaning people who have wanted to see me healed. And so they come up to me with a lot of enthusiasm because they see that I'm in a wheelchair and they want to pray for me, which I'm like, cool, let's pray. But then oftentimes it's almost like their zeal to see God when bypasses the reality that I'm a human being.
Right.
And oftentimes I'm left feeling actually less loved. And I don't think that that way of going about praying for people's healing is in alignment with God's heart. You know, John Wimber has a group quote. He says, remember that Jesus said, feed my sheep, not try experiments on my rats. It's a love.
Feed my sheep, not try experiments on my rats.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Good. We have to keep that in mind because I think sometimes in our expectation or desire to see God do something amazing, we bypass that loving the person in front of us is the most important. That even in our love is actually a conduit of God's healing and power.
Right.
So this is like so, so, so key. So
number one is love.
Really practically, number one is love. So really, before I ever pray for someone, I oftentimes just close my eyes and ask God to give me his heart for that person.
Yes.
God, make me feel your heart and your love for them so that everything I say comes from that place. So yeah, number one is love. Number two is faith. We need faith if we want to see God move. And so sometimes this can go sideways of like, well, how do I know if I have enough faith? Jesus said you need faith as big as a mustard seed, which is like this big. But faith and expectation is a part of this equation. It's a part of this pursuit. And so if you don't have any faith that God can do something, then you probably won't see him do it. But faith is important to the conversation.
Okay, love, faith. What's number three?
Number three, preparation matters. Preparation matters. And here's what I mean by that. I know at your church, you guys are actually forerunners in this conversation around consecration. It's basically this idea that like what you set aside, what you set apart for God, what you give to him, he actually is so delighted to receive and actually use it to bring about more power in your life. And so it's just a simple way of recognizing that like, okay, God, when I give time to you, that actually shapes me. I actually become more aware of your presence.
Yeah.
And so preparation matters. The way we pray, what we give over to the Lord, he actually translates into power. So love, faith, preparation. Number four is simplicity. This is super practical. When you pray for someone's healing, just pray simply. So a couple scriptures for you to look at is like Matthew 6 verses 7 and 8 or Matthew 9. You see all of these stories of healing happening, and when you look at what the prayers are, they're so simple. They're so simple. And so this is just to say, like, you don't have to have fancy words,
right,
or the right words, or you don't have to, like, hype God up to do something. You have to be so simple and trust that he actually wants this for this person more than you ever could, because he loves
you.
So simplicity. And then number five is persistence. Persistence. I think, you know, there's even an example of Jesus in the scriptures when he prays the first time, and then he prays again. And so it's like,
this is Jesus had to pray multiple times for someone's healing. That's crazy. Yeah.
So if Jesus had to pray multiple times, we should expect that we might have to pray multiple times. And so this is just a piece to say, like, man, if nothing shifts right then and there in the moment, sense God's heart. Maybe he wants you to pray again. Or like for me, this persistence is long haul. I'm never going to not pray for my own healing, or I'm never going to not let people pray for my healing. I believe that persistence is a part of what it means to continue to trust that God is a good God who desires healing and wholeness of my whole person. Yeah.
Amazing. Dude, I'm just so grateful. Can we give it up for Shelby one time? So sweet. Shelby, as we're going to have just go into like a response time right now. And just as we have our worship leader, Ben, just come up and start playing a bit, would you mind just praying like an impartation, just like of this gift into our community, and that we could carry this just in the way that you that you've given us kind of a paradigm for, that Jesus would just like start to multiply this out in our community. So if you guys would, as Shelby prays for us, if you could just put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift, she's just going to bless us. Then after she does, I'll give us some instructions about what we're going to do next.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us by your Spirit. We just acknowledge your presence in the room right now, that you are the living and active God, and that your heart for us is good. And Jesus, right now over Youth NYC, I pray that there would be a rise of faith in the room. Our faith, God, would increase, believing that you are a God of the more than we can ask, think, or imagine. God, I even called to mind specific names of people I've seen you physically heal. I think of Jordan and Layla and Abra. God, I could go on and on. I've seen of your fame and deeds. Do them again tonight. God, for these young people, would you give them your heart and your eyes? Would you move them to love like you do and seek the healing that you have on offer for them? I bless them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, friend. Okay, what we're going to do for the next 10 minutes or so, just to wrap this gathering, is that we're going to just create space to worship and to pray like we normally do. Like, we don't come here just for like talks and panda. Like, we literally come here to meet with God. And so we want to create space for you guys to do that. How this is going to work is we're just going to spread out across the room. And if you are here tonight and you would like prayer for physical healing, for something in your body, something going on in your life, but this also could be something going on like in your family, kind of like Shelby's brother Dakota wanted to pray for Shelby's healing, anything like that, we would love if you would just bring that to a leader, and we'd love to pray for you and pray for your healing tonight. And then I would say the second prompt is like, if you want to see God heal people through you and you've never really seen any of this around you and you're like, man, I'm kind of confused about this, but I at least want to say, God, I'm open to this. Would you do this through my life if I'm open to it? We would love to have you go up and find a leader as well. And just a simple prayer. We just want to lay hands on you and just bless you that this would be part of your story. So thank you so much, Shelby. But